Good day, everybody. Welcome to this week's Channel Seed Podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. Recording this on a Thursday afternoon. Fully realize some of you probably getting around to this if you've downloaded us on iTunes or whatnot on a Friday morning. So thank you very much. As I have just gotten home from the Big 12 football media days down in Dallas. That's what this podcast really going to focus on, recapping that. But before we get to football, I want to introduce Adam Gray to the Channel Seed Podcast. Check him out at channel.com. Adam, how are you?
Good, Chris. How you doing?
Good, man. It's been a long week with traveling and stuff, and those days are kind of busy down there. But it's good to be talking about football again, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. You look like a little tired.
I'm gassed for many reasons, but less than the travel isn't really a part of that. But nonetheless, I get the Coke Zero rolling.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to do the pot of coffee in the afternoon. See, because I used to roll with, you do the pot of coffee, get that thing brewing around, I don't know, 6, drink it until about 11, then you take from like 11 to 1 off, and then you get another cup going.
Because you don't want to have coffee with lunch. It doesn't mix.
At some point, you got to get a little sweet in there.
Yep.
But I'm feeling like the older I get, you know, 30's knocking on the door. I don't know if 2 pots of coffee is the right call for me anymore.
Keep you up a little bit at night?
Yeah. No, I made a vow, though. I made a vow to my wife. There's no pressure on her here at all, I promise. But, you know, the room, like a media day thing, is a very interesting dynamic to it, okay? Because you have a lot of guys like my age, younger, they're really trying to make it in the business.
Energetic.
Yeah, and they're more your website guys.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Bloggers.
Hack bloggers, yeah, like myself.
I wasn't going to throw hack in there, but
I'm
if you want to.
Because I'm not owned by a big company. And that's fascinating to me, though, because I am viewed differently by most of these people because I don't have Rivals or Scout next to my name, although I've... No, I've worked for both. I mean, I didn't really work for Rivals. I worked for Paul Clark, but I was on a Rivals website.
Sure.
And I worked for Scout, but I just think it's funny because we're looked upon, Cyclone Fanatic is looked upon differently because there's really nothing else out there like us.
As far as the independent websites go.
There are independent websites, not that actively cover teams. And we don't go down to Dallas for free, cost money. You know, this is a business. This is a publication that we're running for absolutely free. And a lot of people cannot understand that. They just don't understand how it's possible, how newspapers can't do it, but we can.
So are they asking you a lot of questions?
Like, well, no, don't get it. A lot of it's older people.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. And a lot of it, you know, and I always say it's because of people like Channel Seed. It's the only way we do it.
Yes. That's a good plug right there, by the way, for Channel Seed.
Set it up pretty well.
Really solid plug.
I didn't even fabricate that. I mean, that was...
legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MJ Properties was our sponsor down in Dallas, so I thank them for that. No, it really just grinds my gears, the whole... just because we don't have Rivals or Scout or something next to our name. But whatever.
Well, next year when they go down and you keep going down over and over again, hopefully they start to realize you're legit.
They know me now, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just very intrigued by us because they kind of like, Now, wait a second. You don't have subscriptions. You're not owned by a big company. What? Huh? But then I think that they view our site. And it's much easier to understand after you viewed it. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent, I promise.
No, it's fine. It's fascinating to hear how media people think.
But I was telling a story. So I'm sitting around. So there's a lot of younger guys. There are like the Randy Peterson old timers who have been there forever.
Is Randy okay with you calling him an old timer?
Oh, yeah. I would say that if he was right here.
Okay.
Randy's one of my best friends. I would say that to his face. I love Randy. Guys like that, like the Kirk Bowles from Austin, Texas, and the Tim Griffins, guys who you've heard about forever, and they're awesome. I love that. I love the old school guys. There are the smoking hot TV gals. You know what ones I'm talking about. The Sam Steeles.
Yes.
The younger girls who are like at the Longhorn Network right now or, local TV, and they're trying to build themselves up to ESPN, that crowd.
Okay.
And then they're just like some morbidly obese sports writers.
Where are you going with this story?
Well,
I'm just wondering. I thought you were going to try to say these big obese guys are going after and macking on these girls or something.
No, I'm not at all. I'm not. I'm kind of painting the picture. If you find somebody other than one of those, it's pretty rare. Now there are.
Where do you fit into that?
I'm well on my way to being the morbidly obese guy, which is why I told Ashley. So we're going down to the Lake of the Ozarks just for the early part of the weekend. But when we come back, man, I'm going to get me back into shape.
You're going to start doing the P90X again?
I'm going to start doing that again. I'm going to do my running again. We got to get in football shape.
Got to hit him coming off the bus, buddy.
Got to get back into football shape. And we'll have a little announcement on a new podcast that we'll be putting together here in, well, probably a month or so, but it will have a lot to do with getting back into shape in the Iowa Clinic. But that's just a little tease. I don't need to get into that. A guy who is in phenomenal shape is one Brent Bloom. He comes in here right now, do 200 push-ups, doesn't even blink.
You're playing with me right now.
Why?
Bloom can't do 200 push-ups. Come on.
Bloom might be able to do 300 push-ups.
I can't even tell if you're playing with me right now. I'm gonna call BS on this right now.
Point being, Bloom and I will be. There's got to be a weekly Bloom and Williams podcast coming up. We talked about this. We want to do more podcasting. We're working on it. Getting some new equipment, all that good stuff. So stay tuned.
Exciting times.
Stay tuned.
Exciting times ahead.
We'll have our Thursday night radio show. That's a done deal now from Benchwarmers in Ankeny.
Correct.
7 to 8 on Thursdays. Yeah, and I got work, KXNO, all that stuff's done. So we'll have that again this year, and then our football pregame show as well, Wilson Toyota pregame show down at Jack Trice Stadium. Football season is here. Camp starts on the 5th, media day coming up on the 11th. So we got all that housekeeping out of the way on the Channel C podcast. I'll just put it to you because I've written a lot. I haven't written a lot of opinion yet. I was probably going to do a lot of that next week. What caught your eye from Dallas? And maybe it wasn't even about Iowa State, but I mean, you took in pretty much everything.
Yeah, there's a couple things that caught my eye. I mean, first off, three great representatives that Iowa State sent down there in players.
Yeah, that was pretty good recruiting right there by Mike Green.
Yeah, I mean, I think they represent Iowa State really well, very well spoken. Liked hearing each one of their interviews. They each had said something that kind of, made you think twice. It was articulate.
Woody's like insanely intelligent.
He is.
Jacquez is insanely hilarious, and Jeremiah George is right in between.
Yeah,
he's funny and intelligent.
Yeah, he is.
Really good combination of guys.
I think the one thing that stood out to me the most, and I think we all thought it, but there does not seem to be a quarterback competition at all going into fall practice. I mean, from the sounds of it, Richardson's the guy, and he's going to be the guy going forward.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
And see, I figured he'd be the starter, but when we left it off, there was still kind of a quarterback competition and so on and so forth.
Do you think, though, and I probably should have asked this. It's funny, I didn't ask Rhodes about quarterbacks at all, and I talked to him a lot yesterday. I didn't even come to mind, and I probably should have, but I didn't, to talk about quarterbacks. But, I mean, don't you think it's probably Paul saying, you know what, we've done this the last couple of years. I don't want to do it this fall.
You know what? I'd be fine with that because I got tired of hearing it the last couple of years. I know you did too. As far as, are you talking about just the play on quarterback competition all throughout the fall practice?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think they want to deal with that. And on top of that, Sam's the guy.
Yeah.
Did you see Jeff Woody's quote on that when I interviewed him?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of confidence in Sam. It's good to hear. I was talking to you about this earlier today too, and I was talking to you about this, but when I watched Sam Richardson's highlight tape when he's coming out of high school, I thought best highlight tape I've seen out of a kid coming into Iowa State to play quarterback. And then I kind of fell victim to maybe falling off the bandwagon a little bit last year when Steele Jantz was struggling and Jared Barnett were struggling and Richardson wasn't playing there for a while. I'm kind of thinking, well, the kid can't be that good if he's not playing. And then he came in and he did great against Kansas, and I kind of jumped back on, but I still had a little bit of hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like maybe I just jumped off the bandwagon for Richardson a little too early because what's coming out from the players and right now the coaches is all very promising.
It's deceiving, too. I mean, he went 1-2 as a starter. The bowl game, he did have the flu, and everybody played like crap in the bowl game.
Yeah, that wasn't just him.
Yeah. The West Virginia game, It was all right.
Decision making was good.
Yeah.
And that was good to see.
And that's what stands out to me about Richardson is he's still touchdown interception ratio is 8-1.
Slightly better than Steel Jansen's was last year.
Are you ever going to just quit on the Steel Jansen thing? Well, You're still pandering for him to be the starting quarterback, and he's not even here.
How am I pandering when I just took a shot at him? I just took a shot at Steel Jansen.
No,
how am I pandering to him?
Steel Jansen. Anytime you can work Steel Jansen into a positive conversation, you do it.
How is that a positive conversation? How is that
everybody who knows you knows your love affair for Steel Jansen.
Love affair. That's one way of putting it, I guess.
It's funny because it sounds to me like you're the only guy who likes Steel Jansen.
You know what? Last year, I was a Steel Jansen supporter in comparison to Barnett. I know a lot of people were the opposite. I just thought he gave us a better chance of winning those big games because of his ability. I don't know why you're throwing me under the bus here. I took a shot at Steel Jansen right there, and you're saying I love him. I don't get where you're coming from.
If you want to do the podcast, you're going to have to start to stand behind your decisions.
All right.
I'm standing by it. And I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm calling you out on your opinion.
All right. And in my opinion, Steel Jansen was the right guy to start Tulsa last year, and he was the best quarterback on the roster last year.
I agree with the first part. I don't know if you could say he's better than Barnett, though.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
To me, they're different. They did different things, but I don't know if you can say one's better than the other.
Why are we even talking about this? Well, let's get over this.
I bet the people listening are interested.
Yeah, they are. And half of them agree with me and half of them agree with you, as we saw on our website last year. I mean, people, that was a heated topic every week.
I was a little soured on, I love Jared Barnett. I like him. I got some interesting stuff to me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when he left.
From him?
Not from him. Just from people who I know were kind of associated with him. Not his dad. I love his dad, Duke. It just kind of soured me a little bit on that.
Really?
Yeah.
You know how that goes, though. Whenever a kid transfers out, they were somehow wronged.
I was always positive about Jared Barnett.
Yeah, you were never negative about him.
Whatever. Anyways, let's move on.
What else did you hear? I mean, you asked me what I heard. What did you hear there that you kind of...
Let's talk more league-wide.
Okay.
Because we're going to have so much time to talk about Iowa State.
Yep.
And... you know who I think is just sitting on a gold mine?
Who?
Baylor.
You love Baylor,
well,
don't you?
Well, no, I mean, dude, I think that program, when they get that new stadium, Art Briles, did you watch his press conference at all?
You know what? I did not.
Dude sells it.
Yeah.
To me, they remind me of like a little Boise State. Down in Waco, Texas, like a weird place. Like, why would I want to go there? But everybody I've talked to who's experienced Waco, Danny Wilson Toyota of Ames, he's a Waco guy. He's a Baylor grad,
yeah.
There's something brewing down there, and it was just kickstarted by RG3, but it's sustained success now. Their defense... We pointed it out on this podcast last week.
Yes, we did.
I think they start 7 or 8-0, and then it's a gauntlet at the end of the schedule. So they could go 8-4. You know,
yeah,
they probably will. I don't think they're better than 8-4 this year. Maybe 9-3. Maybe 9-3 for the Baylor Bears. But I think that's a sustained program.
Well, if you look at their recruiting right now, they're recruiting at top 25 level.
Correct. And I think that is a sustained program and is about to throw its name in the hat to be a power in the Big 12 for years to come. They're going to replace Kansas State, where Kansas State has been the last couple of years, in my opinion.
Well, they're sustained as long as Art Briles is there.
Yes.
And then if Art Briles leaves for another job, if he gets a better offer.
It's a weird deal down there, though. I don't know if I see Art Briles leaving. I think Art Briles, that might be a destination job for him. Those Baptists down there. They got a crap ton of money.
You know what,
Same with Scott Drew. It's why I don't think Scott Drew will ever leave.
When Rhodes' name...
There are few places in the world where Scott Drew can fit in, Adam. Few places.
Okay. When Rhodes' name gets brought up for other coaching jobs, you always say, Iowa State's not a destination job. That might not be... I mean, am I right here? You could see Paul Rhodes leaving, but you see Art Briles staying at Baylor?
Correct.
So you're giving Baylor more respect than Iowa State as far as a football program.
Do you have any idea how much more money those people have than the level of the playing field is not even close? Ask any coach in America, and they'll say it's easier to win at Baylor than Iowa State.
Well, you got the Texas kids. Okay. I'm just saying, though.
You have Texas in your backyard. You have Baptist money. You're a private school.
Okay.
The climate,
but from geography. From a tradition standpoint and from where they are in the ranks of other Texas schools, they're still below A&M. They're still below Texas. They're still below Texas Tech.
Not for long.
As long as Art Briles is there.
They're going to be, I would say that it's arguable over the last, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they've passed Texas Tech since Leach left. I mean.
Yeah, for I guess the last 2 years maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think they're going to win a national championship at Baylor, but I think that that's a program that can consistently go 9-3.
I agree with you, as long as Art Briles is the coach.
The problem with the Big 12, though, and this is what got me thinking, too, here over the last couple of days, it's like, well, somebody has to lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because there's all these teams that I think are pretty even. I think Texas Tech is going to be better than I once thought they were going to be this year. And I've already been clearly on record that I think Kansas will win 2 games this year. I really do.
Were you impressed with Kingsbury?
Yeah, I think he's another one. That's another guy that stood out to me.
He was.
Because I feel like, you know, we talked about Rhodes. I always compare Tech to Iowa State. You're kind of the redheaded stepchild of the Big 12 in the sense that you're out in West Texas. I mean, that you might as well be in New Mexico. And Iowa State, you're so far north, you get forgotten about a lot. You really have to want to be at those places to sell those places. And both of those guys do that,
yeah.
I think, very well. And I think Kingsbury, you know, that's a destination-type job for him, although he's young enough.
He's really young.
If he has enough success, I mean, he could be maybe Mac Brown's replacement. I don't think he would do that. I mean, I don't know. That's a lot of money. But nonetheless, I think Gary Patterson would be looked at by that job if you're Texas and Mac Brown gets fired.
Yeah.
Is Gary Patterson not the perfect guy to bring in at that spot?
Can you imagine him with the defensive talent he could bring in at Texas?
Well, I know. And the thing, too, I mean, I think TCU is going to start, as long as they win, they can't go 7-6. I think I expected that last year. Not a lot of people did, but I if they do what I think they'll do this year.
Will you quit patting yourself on the back and just get to the point? Come on.
If they do what I think they are going to do this year, why can't they bring in that talent, though?
Maybe they can't. I don't think they can ever get to the point where they're bringing in Texas-level talent. I mean, Texas offers kids, and these kids say yes. I mean,
Texas has gold-plated toilets in their locker room.
Yes.
Yes. And that's But TCU can bring in half of those kids. Texas can only bring in so many people.
I agree.
The other guys have to go somewhere.
I agree.
And I don't think A&M's going to sustain what they... I don't. I think Manziel flops this year. 8-4 for the Aggies. Bam.
I agree with you, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't think that... Oh, A&M's in the SEC now. They're going to compete for national titles. I don't buy it. And that's kind of the sense that... I got that from a lot of guys down there.
Did you?
Yeah.
You know, which is funny because 2 years ago when they decided to leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC, oh, they're going to get killed in the SEC. They're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. They're just, you know, maybe they'll win 2 games in a year down there.
They just needed to get rid of Sherman, man. You can't trust an old Packer.
Yeah.
Anybody associated with the Green Bay Packers, you cannot trust.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I completely agree, except for Brett Favre.
Oh, Lord.
The greatest quarterback ever to live.
So those are a couple things that stood out to me. Kansas State, to me, is tricky.
I'm sure Snyder was just a ball of energy.
Yeah, I like Bill Snyder. He's a good time.
I did enjoy your interview with him when you asked him about Cecil Rhodes. That was a good interview.
He's a fun guy. I love Bill Snyder. Like, sure, he doesn't have a ton of energy, but he's old. Damn it. He's old. What do you want him to do, cartwheels?
I don't think he's ever, even when he was 10 years younger, he still had to give the same interviews
now. A guy like Bloom just badmouths Bill Snyder because he's boring. He's old. How many old guys, you know, are bouncing off the walls? Not many of them. He's an old guy. Give him a break. I'm sure he had more energy when he was younger. Like, why can people not appreciate sitting there and going back in time with a guy like Bill Snyder? See, I love old people, too.
I do, too. I wasn't bashing him by any means. You know, Bill Snyder. No, I wasn't bashing him.
You were being ageist.
I was bashing maybe his interviews. His interviews kind of seem a little bit Kirk Ferentz-ish to me.
Kirk Ferentz is way more boring than Bill Snyder.
Way more? Come on.
No, and yeah, because Snyder might not talk with a lot of, like, a crazy tone in his voice, and he may not be like real excited, but what he's saying has substance.
Instead of just a normal...
Yeah, monotone.
Every day.
Not actually telling you nothing.
Yeah.
Like Ferentz
okay,
does.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's fair. I'll give that to you.
Yeah, so while Bill Snyder, though, I think that they take it. I like Kansas State. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Bloom and I argued about this every Thursday last year, that I think they take a step back. And well, I think it's clear, you know, and a lot of people are like, wow, he's going to prove us wrong again. Dude, you got 9 to replace on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's fine on offense. I think that offense keeps moving. Now, the guys coming in are not going to be Colin Klein, but I think they could bring close to that level.
They might be able to pass a little better.
Yeah. So I think they'll be fine on offense. I just worry about their defense, though, because their defense, believe it or not, won them a lot of games last year. And I don't – you got to replace 9.
So
ain't happening.
So when Cyclone Fanatic takes 2 buses down, takes about 112 people down to Kansas State.
Could be the upset.
We're gonna watch Iowa State get a win.
Could be the upset.
Yeah. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah, I think that might be my – so I've got them winning there and at West Virginia. Interesting.
We won 2 road games last year.
Yeah.
I think maybe the year before, did we win 2 road games?
I
don't know. But we're getting
the year before was that Texas Tech game.
Oh, yeah. That was a great game.
Just the pounding down there in Lubbock. 41-7. Jared Barnett, your boy.
Great game by Jared. Yeah. You're trying to make it sound like I hate Jared Barnett. That's not true.
Well, you've never really been a big fan, Adam. So I think Snyder takes a step back. Again, I think Kansas. I was glad that Mack Brown made the point in his press conference that Kansas damn near won every, almost, other than Iowa State, of course, all of its home games last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this isn't like a team just rolled over and died for everybody that it played. They're better this year. The Big 12 isn't as good.
Now they're.
They have to win some games, people.
They're done now. After listening to Charlie Weiss's interview.
What'd you think about him calling his team a pile of crap?
Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible. Why is that horrible?
Horrible.
He was kidding.
He might have been
anybody
kidding.
Anybody with a brain can realize that.
No, so I don't have a brain now.
Apparently
okay?
Not.
Gee, I understand he's kidding. I understand that's what he's saying as far as selling it, his program. But it's the same stuff that you see like with a lot of coaches that fail. They come in and to try to sell their program and get their program back up, they diminish the players that they currently have on their roster. Chizik did it when he got to Iowa State. Weiss is doing it. We've seen it from a lot of coaches. You know who didn't do it? Paul Rhodes didn't do it when he got to Iowa State.
Bill Callahan at Nebraska did the same thing.
Did the same thing. It never works. Your players don't play for you. They don't play for you.
I think you're taking it too personally, though.
Why am I? I'm not on the team.
I think for those guys, I mean, he wasn't calling them individual piles of crap.
It doesn't. It's not the point.
He was in the context how I took it, he was calling 1-11 a pile of crap. I mean, I think it's similar to, and I'm not putting words in the mouth of Fred Hoiberg here, so don't take it that way. What do you think? How do you think Fred was recruiting those transfers at first?
Well, immediate playing time.
You're going to come and play for this team. If you can't play for this guy, then you ain't ever going to the NBA.
But that doesn't matter, Chris. In the media, publicly, you know what Hoiberg was saying? We're going to get the ball in Deontay. Deontay's got a great skill set. We're going to use it. And everyone's sitting here and we're like, Deontay Garrett, the guy scored 7 points a game.
It's different,
he's
though.
Not very good. What's Fred Hoiberg? What he did is he instilled confidence in
Weiss,
his team.
But Weiss was asked about how the question that led to that.
Yeah.
Weiss was asked, how are you selling your program to recruits?
I saw the whole quote, the whole thing, and you know what stood out to me the most? He never says we in there. He said, you know, if they want to get more respect, they need to win more games. They? What do you mean they? You're the head coach. It's we. It's we, Charlie.
You know what
You're going to go 0-12 now because you're a horrible leader, a great offensive coordinator. You're a horrible leader. And you know what?
You know
I
what
lost
I
all respect for him.
Adam,
I saw the interview.
You know what
Terrible.
I see right here going on?
What?
I see a bitter Notre Dame fan who hates his ex coach.
No. You know what? That's a little fair, I guess.
Exactly what's going on.
No, I just don't like it. In my opinion, you're the head coach of a Division I program. You say we. You don't say they.
Okay.
If they want to win more games, they got to play better.
I will agree with you. I'll agree with you there, but I do not agree with like that this pile of crap comment was offensive in any means.
I didn't say offensive. Did I say offensive?
Well, that's what you're alluding to.
No, I don't think it's offensive. I just think it shows poor leadership skills. You talk up your players. You don't talk down to them to try to make yourself look better for incoming kids.
No, but I don't think that's what he was doing, though. He was alluding to their record. I mean, I don't think he meant, like, who was their quarterback? Dane Crist. I don't think he was calling Dane Crist a pile of crap.
No, good thing to say about Dane Crist.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
I think by doing that, in a weird way, he was selling his program. I said that. I was on with Ken and Jim, and like I could see how he gets recruits after watching that press conference.
Sure.
That guy could sell ice to an Eskimo.
He better hope they give him 6 years in Kansas, though, because he's not winning for the next three.
Well, he'll get two this year. There's no way they're going to be worse.
Maybe not worse, but would it really surprise you if they went? I know you'll say yes. Yeah, but if they went 0-9?
Yeah, it absolutely would surprise me, because in a league this even,
yeah,
where you don't have really anybody standing out as a favorite, there's no national title contenders.
Texas is.
No, they're not. Well, maybe. That's the only team I could see spiking Texas up and doing that.
They are.
But in a league like this, like I just. Dude, they almost beat Oklahoma State last year. They almost beat Texas last year. Pretty good teams, right?
Yeah.
There's no way they go 0-9 3 years in a row. Absolutely no way.
Okay.
We'll move on. I wanted to talk to wrap this up. A little bit shorter of a podcast today. This targeting rule, I know that you have a passionate opinion on it. I've studied it a lot, so I think I have some information I can bring to the table on it in the Channel C podcast. So essentially now, if you get called for targeting, you can be ejected from the football game. And you, well, let's just be honest, you're not a fan of officials.
More so in basketball than football, but
yeah,
yes,
you don't like the basketball because the egos you think get.
They're all on power trips in the college basketball. The refs.
These are the opinions of Adam Gray and Adam Gray alone, and should not be taken against our advertiser, Channel Seed, or CycloneFanatic.com.
Everyone out here listening to this podcast agrees with me.
Adam, what do you think of this new targeting? They can eject people. What do you think about it?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan for many reasons. One, it's football. I mean, hits happen. It's unfortunate.
You think that they should just be spearing people and making guys concussed?
This is the worst podcast I've ever been on, because you're taking everything I'm saying and
I'm going to the lake. I'm a little bit squirrely right now.
Are you sure that Coca-Cola doesn't have something in
it? I was just going to say, I swear I'm not drunk, everybody. I'm so tired. I'm like delirious right now, but
man,
go ahead.
I feel bad for Ash and the car trip down to the Ozarks.
Okay. Give me your take on it, though, because I think you and I have the same opinion, but I think we've gone different ways to come about this opinion.
Yeah, I think it just puts too much power in refs' hands, and I don't think it's a power that they want to have, but unfortunately it is a power that they do now have. And to eject a player from a game on something that happens so fast, Chris, I mean, you know, a guy could be going for a hit in the chest or the stomach, and the receiver could put his head down, and helmet to helmet happens, and there was no intent, and now you kick a guy out of a game, and especially for a team like Iowa State. Let's be honest. We're not putting, you know, after Jaquizz Washington, we don't have a 3 or 4 or 5 star coming in behind Jaquizz Washington.
Correct.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm not a fan.
I agree completely. I think that this is, I think it's being viewed wrong by a lot of fans, though. I think a lot of fans have it in their mind that, like, referees are wanting to do this. As Walda Anderson, the director of officials, pointed out numerous times in that press conference yesterday, they're basically being forced to do this. I mean, his direct quote, it was a very powerful quote, "Our game is under attack," and then I'm paraphrasing from here on.
From who?
Outsiders, meaning, like, I mean, look at what's going on with the NFL, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are people, Adam, making predictions that the NFL will not exist in 20 years because all of its older players are going to die off from concussions. Now, that's extreme, obviously.
Sure.
And you and I can sit here and we can come to that conclusion. But there are a lot of people out there who are not, you know, they're not normal.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep making these claims. So Anderson's point was, we have to do something. And it's not like I find it really hard to believe that any official wants that power.
I'm not saying they want it, but they have it.
I understand. But I think that it's a misnomer out there that a lot of people think that these guys are, that like the referees are getting together to change the rule.
Yeah.
That's not, like, they're being forced to do it. And Anderson's point was, we're making this change so that outsiders don't come into our game and make the change for us. I think that means, like, Congress and stuff. You know what I mean?
People have no business really being in the
absolutely
game.
Absolutely.
Put their nose in the game anyway.
They're looking out for the health. And it's a dangerous sport.
It always has been.
Damn it. Like, you got your boys, right?
Yep.
And when they come to you and you're a football guy, right?
Yes.
And you're probably going to say, Owen, Jake, yeah, you can play ball. But you're going to know as a parent that it's dangerous. And I assume you're probably going to be a little bit nervous about it, right?
Absolutely.
Every time one of your boys takes a hit in a weird way,
your heart stops a little bit. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a dangerous game. And you accept that when you go into it and when you're getting your education paid for, and you're probably going to be getting paid here in a couple of years. You know what? Like,
you know,
sometimes there is risk when you agree to do this.
I agree. And those guys in the NFL that are coming back and suing, and this is going to sound cold-hearted, and it's not anyway. If you would go back 20 years and they're playing and say, you can either take this paycheck for $1 million and play in the NFL and be famous, or you're going to get concussions, so don't play. They would all take the paycheck.
Yeah, I know. They would.
I don't like it.
My thing is, and it's too subjective in the sense that, the whole way that they're going to judge this is by how low you get. Well, so Jarvis West is 5'7". Quentin Bundridge is 6'2", or whatever, 6 foot, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot different tackling those guys.
It is.
So, like, are you literally going to have to get down on your knees to tackle Jarvis West to not hit him in the head? You know what I mean? Like, it's a very... I put it this way. It would be like pass interference, because it's such a subjective call. And pass interference, I think, is the most subjective call of them all
sure.
in football. It's like ejecting a guy for interference.
For pass interference, yeah.
Which is clearly, to me, it might look like pass interference. To you, you may go, you know what, I got a different style.
Yeah.
To me, I let him get away with just a little bit more.
Sure.
So I think it's comparable to that.
It is very comparable.
Because in one guy's mind, in the angle he's at on the field, that's not going to look like a helmet-to-helmet malicious hit to the other guy. You know.
Tell me, Chris, is this something they're going to be able to review?
Yes.
Okay.
They will review this.
So more stopping in a game, which is great.
And he made the point, like, games are going to take longer now.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. He goes, we're going to get the call right.
Here's my problem with it. You watch Hit Live, and it looks good, and it looks legit. You can slow down anything and make it look bad.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
I mean,
yeah.
No, I'm not a fan. There's a lot of times where a guy is going to hit a guy in the stomach or the chest. The receiver, the running back, lowers their head, and all of a sudden you see a helmet-to-helmet contact, and there was never any intent. That's just football. It is what it is.
Football.
You just got to – I mean, unless you see a guy purposely spearing or jumping into a pile late spearing, let him play, man. Let him play.
And I guess I don't even have the – I don't have a problem with having the ability to eject a guy from the game.
Yeah.
I don't like that they have to eject the guy from the game.
Because you're saying each penalty is different.
Correct. Because my thing is, like, I asked Jacquez Washington this. I don't know if you saw that video.
I did.
Yeah, and I asked Jacquez. Jacquez told me he thinks, like let's say a number 15 guys get kicked out of games this year.
Yeah.
He said, and I asked him, I go, how many of those would be malicious? Yeah, but this is just a number.
Yep.
And I followed up with, how many of those 15 are malicious, and how many of them are just football, you couldn't control it?
Yeah.
He thought 5 would be malicious. So essentially, in one player's opinion, 1/3 of these calls are malicious. Those guys should get kicked out.
Correct.
If you can slow it down, if you can go and take another look, and if it matches up to what you saw, eject the guy. Kind of like a flagrant in basketball. College basketball has the same problem with those stupid flagrants. I mean, I saw a couple guys get tossed out of games last year where I wanted to hurl something at the TV. I was watching, it was actually a Creighton Wichita State game. I don't know if you remember that. It was on like a Saturday. It was a phenomenal game. It was big time. It was all over Twitter too when this happened. But there's issues all across the board when you get the referees that much. But at least they had the choice. You know, at least they can go back and look at it and be like, well, that's probably only a 1 or a 2. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like they could.
Yep.
Maybe you go that route. Maybe you do it's a targeting 1 and there's a 2. A second degree gets you kicked out. First degree.
They miss a couple plays, make 5 plays
get
or something.
2 first degrees and then you're gone.
Are we going to do a penalty box? Are we going to turn this into hockey?
I don't know, but they need help. I mean, they need some of my opinions here.
And anybody who's watched SportsCenter the last 24 hours has seen this over and over and over again. The Jadeveon Clowney hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the referees are saying, I was there reffing that game. Based on the rules now, he would have been ejected.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolute garbage.
It is.
Just complete garbage.
We're on the same page here. I just think that, I actually feel bad for the refs because they've always had an impossible job. Reffing's hard to do. It's thankless. The only time that you're really recognized is when you screw something up.
Yeah.
And now it's just impossible.
How much? How much they make, Chris, for doing? college football first season.
It's a hard job. No. I don't know what they make, honestly. Okay.
Well, have to have, next time Bloom's in here, you ask him that question. Write that down.
Sure, they get paid well, and it's a hard. That's why they get paid well, though. Yeah. It's a hard job. You're under a ton of public scrutiny. I mean, they should be paid well.
Okay.
But they're making it damn near impossible on these guys.
They are. I feel bad for them, and it pains me to say that. I actually feel some sort of pity for the refs, because you know my... Yeah, disgusting.
You and your crusades against Barnett and referees.
You know what, though? Honest to God, football referees, I don't have an issue with. Especially last year because they took a win away from the Packers. I loved officials this time last year. Remember the Seahawks game when they gave the touchdown? I just taking a little shot at
that
the Packers.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
I had some neighbors across the street, and I was just like, they're the biggest Packer fans.
Were you doing what you're doing right now to me?
They're great guys.
Were you trolling them like you're trolling me right now on this podcast? Is that what you're doing
to them? I'm trolling them now.
Yeah.
But like when that happened, like I was just like peering out my window, just like looking to just watch how quickly their lights went off that night, just because they were ticked off.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. All right. Hey, I got to go.
All right. Have fun in the Ozarks.
Yeah. I'm just like 48 hours. Then we'll come back up. Busy. Camp starts on the 5th. So then we'll just be wall to wall.
I'm excited, man. I'm really looking forward to it. This is one year where you don't know what to expect, so it'll be exciting. A lot of new guys coming in, a lot of new faces, and guys will see play football for Iowa State for about the next 3 years.
Yeah,
so.
Which it bodes. I think 14
is the year.
That's the year that I don't think that they can get more than in the upper half of the league this year.
No, I don't either.
Like everybody, like all the guys said,
it's good to have that goal. I mean, you got to have that goal.
No, I admire him for that. I think 14's that year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Should be year 6. I mean, it's time to go.
Yep.
At that point. All right. He's Adam Gray. I'm Chris Williams. Check out our friends at Channel Seed, channel.com. It's Seedsmanship at Work. Proud supporter of CycloneFanatic.com and the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. We will be back next week. So long, everybody.
Go Cyclones.